Ads Extra as we get you set for game number one today between the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. Jared Stillman, Chase McCabe. 1 hour until pregame coverage, 2 hours until puck drop. It's been 5 months since the Nashville Predators took the ice. That was a Tuesday in Montreal. The team would fly to Toronto. Game canceled Thursday, fly back home. And now they're back to Canada in Edmonton where they'll take on the Arizona Coyotes. Arizona has had a little bit of an up-and-down year, you could say. Of course, you go back to the fact that they acquired Taylor Hall earlier than the trade deadline this year in hopes that they could make a run. Then it was discussed maybe they were looking to trade Hall before the deadline. They go into it. They make a push for the playoffs this year. They were outside looking in when the pause happened. And then, of course, just recently as last week, an issue with their general manager snooping around looking at other jobs was essentially fired, or as the team put it, quit on the team. And yet they start game one against the Predators. And of course, I'll be honest, I watched the game they played on Thursday against Vegas. Not as impressive as I was expecting to see, but talk to people around the league and they say this is probably a 5-game series. And with that, Craig Morgan joins us. He covers the Arizona Coyotes for azcoyotesinsider.com. So Craig, let's start with Arizona. I know it was an exhibition game on Thursday, but the Predators looked fantastic against Dallas. Arizona, not so much against Vegas Thursday. How much should I read into that? How much did you read into that?
Well, I don't want to read too much into any exhibition game normally, but when there's only one of them before the qualifying round starts, you'd like to see a little more, to be honest, a little of something from the Coyotes. I came away from that game where I really couldn't pick out a single player that impressed me with their performance in that game, and that has to be concerning for the team, knowing that it has to start the postseason today. A few things that I think that they wanted to see were the ability to play a little faster, not get hemmed in their own zone, and they really weren't able to accomplish that other than for stretches against Vegas. And then some key players like Phil Kessel, Clayton Keller, I think they wanted bigger performances just to see something from those guys, and I don't think they got it.
What did you make of the way the Arizona Coyotes were playing going into the pause? Because the Predators had this belief, Craig, that they had turned a corner under John Hines when the pause happened, and they even though I don't completely believe it, they say it, and I think they believed it, and they came out of the break looking like they picked up where they thought they left off. Where was Arizona heading into the break?
Well, the last 2 months clearly were the slump that really hurt their season. They when they acquired Taylor Hall in late December, they were in first place in the Pacific Division. And they were playing well, really, for a little while there, but they lost Darcy Kemper to an injury just one game into acquiring Hall. And Kemper, of course, was playing at a Vezina Trophy caliber level. This team is reliant on goaltending, so they slid significantly. Having said that, though, if you look at the last 10 games for the Coyotes before the pause, they had actually righted the ship, even though they were playing about .500 hockey. They were leading the NHL in generating scoring chances over that last 10-game stretch. So it really did look that they had looked like they had found their game right before the pause. Now, I don't know how much any of that means with a 4-month layoff. I just don't believe that any team can carry momentum after that long a period off.
We're talking to Craig Morgan, azcoyotesinsider.com, here on Preds Extra. Connor Garland is a name that may not be a league-wide known name, but has quickly become one of the go-to guys there in Arizona, led the team in goals with 22. What have you seen from the growth of his game throughout the season?
Well, I mean, it really goes back even to last season. Connor Garland, when they drafted him in the fifth round back in 2015, he basically got to the league as a guy who liked to play with a puck. And when he arrived in the Coyotes system, they told him, look, this is not going to be your game. This is not your path to the NHL because, quite frankly, there are other guys who have higher skills in that level. If you want to make it to this game, to this level of the game, you have to remake your game entirely, be a guy that's going to go to the net consistently. And that's tough to ask of a guy like Connor Garland because he's only about 5'8". But to his credit, he did it. He is one of the most fearless players I have ever watched. And as a result, he's enjoyed a lot of success. He clearly led the team this season in scoring before the pause with 22 goals. He's a tough guy to get a lick on in the corners because he's always moving, always cutting back. He is definitely a player to watch in this series, particularly because of the reason I said before, he goes to the net with consistency, and I think that's what you have to do to have postseason success.
When the Predators made their run to the Stanley Cup final in 2017, a big part of that was assistant coach Phil Housley spent many successful years here in Nashville before going on to Buffalo. He joined the Arizona coaching staff this season. What kind of an impact has he made on this team with a mix of young players and older players?
Well, obviously he's charged primarily with coaching the defensemen and then the power play. The power play has been a mixed bag this year. I do think it's improved over last year, but they've been inconsistent, so they finished sort of middle of the pack. The thing that he really wants to do is get his defensemen more involved in the play, and I'm sure you guys are very familiar with that style of play in Nashville, but he wants them to pick their spots and get up into the play more. They did it with some mixed results, and again, I think that was partly because of health this season. They did it well early in the season, and then when some of their players got injured, they lost Nicholas Chalmerson very early. They had injuries to other players on the blue line. They just had to play too many minutes, too much time, and I think they got away from that sort of aggressive mode. That was a big focal point in camp, getting those guys to jump back into the play, and in particular, activating the weak side defenseman. So we'll see if all of that emphasis will actually show up on the ice.
Craig Morgan is with us. Craig, I'll be honest with you. I don't think a lot of people in Nashville watch the Arizona Coyotes. Maybe twice a season on a given season. Now, of course, we all remember the playoff series in 2012, in which Arizona absolutely dominated the Predators for most of that series, but that was a long, long time ago. What would you say, Predators fans listening right now that maybe watch Thursday on NHL Network but don't know a ton about the Arizona Coyotes, what would you tell them in a nutshell about what this team is and what kind of threat they would be to the Predators?
Well, they're one of the faster teams in the league, and I don't think people realize that. They have a lot of team speed. It's just a matter of whether they can get it going with quick breakouts. That is their focus. Getting out of the zone quickly and moving up north. Now, Nashville does a really good job of cycling in the offensive end, so it's an interesting matchup to watch. But team speed for the Coyotes, obviously they have Taylor Hall, Phil Kessel, a couple of names that pretty much everyone is aware of, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson is the captain on the back end, that they're really looking to sort of ignite the offense and run the power play. But I think the biggest key to the Coyotes, and this is no secret to most people in the NHL, is that they have elite goaltending. Darcy Kuemper, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the best goaltenders in the league without question, top three guy before he got injured. Antti Raanta, maybe the best backup in the game. This is one of the best goaltending tandems in the NHL. And if it comes to the point where you have to use two goalies, I think that's a significant advantage for the Coyotes.
Do you think that the Coyotes, this is what's crazy, is Darcy Kuemper obviously had a great season, but Pekka has had all of the success he's had in the past, and UC Soros, when they made the move to John Hines, was probably the second best goalie in the league, maybe behind Kuemper. Is it crazy to say that Arizona has a significant goaltending edge on two guys, especially a guy in Rene, who everybody has known for a long time as one of the top goalies in the league?
Well, if Pekka can be the guy of old, Pekka was not a good goaltender this season. In fact, he was an awful goaltender this season. So if he can turn things around and play as he did previously in his career, sure, that would be a big boost for Nashville. And I like UC Saros' play, you know, over the last stretch. But again, when you look at the body of work, not just a short period of work over the course of the season, I do think the Coyotes had a significant edge in goal.
One more for you. Phil Kessel, you brought him up earlier, of just, you know, from watching from afar, he hasn't been the Phil Kessel maybe that we saw in Pittsburgh or in years past, but have you seen him maybe coming back from the break, coming into training camp? Does he look like he could be the Phil Kessel of old? Because I know he's going to be important for them to win this series.
Well, I mean, there was talk, a lot of talk about him being that guy and being fresh, and he had dealt with injuries all season, including a groin injury that really hampered him. But, you know, I don't take much away from training camp practices, first of all. And then, like we talked about earlier in the game, in that first exhibition game against Vegas, I didn't see much from Phil at all. They really need him to contribute. He's been a fantastic playoff performer over the course of his career. They've got to see something from him because he really didn't give them much this season.
Craig, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Really excited to be back to playoff hockey today, even if it is the Stanley Cup qualifying round. And I think a lot of people in the next 2 weeks will know a whole lot more about the Arizona Coyotes here in Nashville. Craig, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Definitely happy to be watching hockey again.
Fantastic. Stay safe, as always. Craig Morgan with us, azcoyotesinsider.com, joining us here on the program. And the one thing I can't get over with Arizona, Chase, is their goaltending, especially with Kemper, because I don't know a whole lot about this team. I read what's written. I hear what I'm told. And I'm told that their goaltending is significantly better than the Predators' goaltending, which has been the backbone of the Predators for forever. And that, I think, is a big concern going into this series.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, they have been solid in that department. And Darcy Kemper, I looked this up earlier, 5-2-1 all-time against Nashville, 2.39 GAA against the Predators. So he's had some success. And granted, it's not a lot, but he's had success against Nashville in the past, and you expect him to be able to bring his A game today. So it's something that you definitely have to watch out for. But that ties into something that we were discussing earlier, that the top six, the guys that you rely on with the Predators to score you those goals, they're going to have to play like we think they can play. I mean, you've used that phrase for years, pay what you owe, with Kyle Turris. Well, Kyle Turris played much better under John Hines. We have to continue to see that. Mikael Granlund, we have to continue to see that under Hines. And then, of course, Jofa goes without saying. And Matt Duchene. You paid Matt Duchene a lot of money, too, to come here after chasing him for 2 years.
He does need to start paying what he owes.
Yeah, absolutely he does. It's time for him to step up and play the role that he's supposed to play.
615-737-1025. We will get to more of your texts into the text line as we get you set for game number one, the Western Conference Qualifying Series, game one, best of five, 1 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5. The game pregame coverage beginning at noon. And of course, we will have all of the postgame coverage, including post after the game, Coach Hines, and what the players have to say after the game as well. All of your postgame coverage. You can tap the app. Tap the app, the Game Nashville app, and you can listen to everything. It's not one of these leagues or one of these stations where when you try to listen to the game on the app, they say, you can't listen to this content right now. Not us. No, no, no. Game one will be on the app. So you can literally tell your Alexa or whatever device to play 102.5 the game, and it will. And you will get the game. You will get the pregame. You will get the postgame. Everything from Hal Gill and Pete Weber to what goes on inside the bubble. We will have all of that, and it is all available, not just on the radio, but also on our app, the Game Nashville app. We are getting you set for game number one. Preds Extra, Chase McCabe, Jared Stillman. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, John, a lot of block shots today, really good special team. Just wondering, you know, what you liked most, and I guess what didn't you like from today?
You know, I think there was a lot of things to like. I guess I would say, you know, I probably this in the third period, I thought we defended a little bit too much. I liked the way that we did defend. I thought there was a lot of poise. We had layers of defense, guys in a strong position. I really liked when we were under pressure in the third period, just the way that the bench was and how we played. And we stayed with it. You know, I think that part of it is let's figure out and see what happened, why we had to defend as much in the third period as we did. But other than that, you know, I think there's lots of positives to take, but we're certainly going to look at some things that we can get better.
That was John Hines after the game on Thursday. Predators looked great on Thursday against Dallas. Arizona looked terrible. We talked to Craig Morgan, who covers the team, and says generally he wouldn't take a lot out of it, but because it's the only exhibition game, very concerning what he saw from the Coyotes. But I want to flip it around. Chase McCabe with me on Preds Extra. Chase, what are you concerned about today?
What I'm concerned about, it really starts with, you know, a guy that Craig Morgan brought up, but Taylor Hall. I mean, Taylor Hall, to me, is a guy that's going to make that offense really run. And when he's at his best, he can hurt you. We've seen that his entire career, whether it was with Edmonton or with New Jersey. And then the pieces that he has around him, he knows how to use those. But Taylor Hall, in 22 career games against Nashville, has 21 points. You can't ignore that. He obviously knows what to do against the Predators. And here's another thing. And I don't know how much stock that you put into this, but I'll bring it up. Who was his head coach the last 3 or 4 years with New Jersey?
John Hines, and John Hines got shipped out of there at the same time.
They did. So, but they know each other, and you can look at that as, okay, John Hines knows him, so I'm sure that that's been discussed, you know, some tendencies that Taylor has, but Taylor also knows the system, so it kind of goes both ways. And I also think that we haven't brought up Phil Housley much, but what Phil Housley knows about this team, even though it's a different head coach, the system has changed. He knows the personnel. He knows this defense. He knows Roman Yossi, Ryan Ellis, those guys. So you have to wonder how much any of that of team, of coaches, players knowing each other will factor in. But to me, one of my biggest concerns will be Taylor Hall, because if you let him get hot, he can hurt you, and he can hurt you a lot.
So anytime you play a team, they're always going to have a star player. The star player is going to be a big concern. My concern is the consistency from the Predators, which has been an issue in the playoffs ever since they got past St. Louis. It really has been, where they will go out and have a great game, a big win, and they won't really truly follow it up. And you go the St. Louis series, I thought the Chicago-St. Louis of 2017, that was consistent, tough hockey. Then they get to the Anaheim series. They win game one in overtime. They have a big lead in game two, and then foot off the gas, they lose that game two. They were not consistent in that series. Pittsburgh in the cup final, they were not consistent. Colorado, the Punch and Judy Avs, they beat them two games here, get smacked in game three, get smacked in game five at home. Like, not consistent. And obviously we know that the Dallas series last year, they weren't consistent, but even inside the seasons, they haven't been consistent. They would win a big game. They would win one big game, and then the next thing you know, you turn around, and they would lose a game to a not-so-good team. All of those things were problems. Like, the big problems, as far as I was concerned. So, consistency. And, I mean, they looked great. They looked great the other day, which I loved. But where I struggle with this and where I struggle with them is, can they be consistent going forward when they haven't been consistent for years?
Yeah, and it's a fair point, because that right there is what got Peter Laviolette fired, the lack of consistency that they've had. And it just got worse and worse and worse, because you look at this roster and they don't have to have the Alex Ovechkin. They don't have to have the Sidney Crosby. They never have. Philip Forsberg, I think, can be a lot better than he has been to this point, and he's a pretty good player, but I do think there's another level. But that's not how David Poile has built this team. He's built this team to have, from top to bottom, guys that are going to contribute. They just have to do it on a consistent basis. So I definitely look at that as a concern, that they, okay, all right, we feel good about Thursday, we feel good about how they played against Dallas. Okay, you feel good towards the end of the regular season that they were starting to play better, but even then, they would win three and then up, they might fall off, and then they'd bounce back and win three and then up, they fall off. So you can't have that, especially in a best-of-five series. So I agree with you, Jared. They got to figure that out, be consistent, go out there and play the full 60.
Do you believe this series is a referendum on the Predators, more so than it has anything to do with Arizona? You brought up, when I asked you what concerns you, you brought up Taylor Hall. And I can agree that Taylor Hall can worry you, and Phil Kessel can worry you, and Ekman Larson can worry you. They've got some star players on Arizona, and Darcy Kuemper is a, you know, borderline Vezina candidate, etc., although he did not, he's, you know, not. But Arizona is not what I'm worried about. Arizona is not, if the Predators play Preds hockey and they do what they're supposed to do and they play the way they played on Thursday, I am not worried about Arizona in this series at all. In fact, if they play the way they played Thursday, the Predators, I think they should sweep Arizona. Do you think that this is a total referendum on the Predators? That the team they're playing in this case is not worthy of the discussion as to how this series is going to be decided?
Basically what you're saying is you're not as worried about Arizona winning the series as you are about Nashville losing it and beating themselves. And I agree. I think it is. I think that you worded that correctly, because that goes back to the inconsistencies that you think, okay, all right, they've turned the corner. They look like the good Preds. This is what we saw several years ago, but then boom, they go right back to where they were and play an inconsistent hockey. And again, that's why you make a coaching change. You hope that John Hines has figured out how to solve that with this team. But until you actually see it, you can't definitively say that that's true. So yeah, I agree with you. I think it is a referendum against the Predators, that this is a team that they have no business losing to. I understand that anything can happen in hockey, especially in the playoffs. I get that. But with what you're trying to rebuild now with this group, knowing that you have some questions you have to answer in a short offseason, you have to decide, are you willing to pay a couple guys to stay? Do you want them to stay? It's very important to see what it's going to look like against a team that you absolutely should beat.
I do wonder if Arizona, who I would compare Arizona to, that the Predators have played over the last handful of years in the playoffs. And I think I would compare them to the Colorado team in 2018, which,
fair,
I don't want to say is a knock, but we did call that team Punch and Judy. Is this Arizona team a worthy opponent when we're talking about, you know, the playoffs and the Predators? And do you really look at Arizona as a worthy opponent, likened to what we've seen the last handful of years when the Predators have gotten into these very intense playoff series?
Yeah, I like that comparison because you called them Punch and Judy, and I remember that from that series. But when I looked at them, I had the fortune to go to those games, so I was there, saw all the games of that series, and I sat there and I go, this is a pretty good team. They're probably a year or two away, but this is a pretty good team. I feel that way about Arizona. I think Arizona isn't there yet. So to answer your question of are they a worthy opponent, yes and no, because I don't think that they're supposed to win yet, but I do believe that they are on the right track of being a team that has a mix of the young guys and the veterans that they have built around. Rick Tocchet, their head coach, I think is tremendous. Now, they're taking a step back because they're trying to figure out what's happening in the front office. I love Steve Sullivan, the player, but I can't pretend to tell you what he's going to be like as a general manager and if he gets that job full time. So those are some things that they have to address. But, yeah, I think today they're in this series. They are the 11 seed. You can look at it however you want, but they've gotten to this point. And so I think you have to look at them as a worthy opponent, even though I do believe that they are a year or two away from actually being a contender.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 to the text line if you want to get your texts in. That's how we'll respond to them. No calls, please. Coming up next, though, we'll get into those, your texts that you've sent in. Plus, yesterday, we saw some big game ones, some shocking game ones yesterday. How critical in a best of five in hockey, something I don't think has been done since the 80s, how critical is game one? We'll discuss that coming up next as the Predators get set to take on Arizona in game one. Puck drop is at noon right here. Excuse me, puck drop is at 1. Pregame is at noon right here on ESPN 102.5, the game.
We saw Jofa back together in training camp and in the game yesterday. When was that decision made of putting those three that have had a ton of success in the past back together?
Well, that was the coach and the coaching staff after, you know, some consultation with, I say their hockey ops group and talking to us about what we've seen in the past few years. And I think specifically their John talking to these all the players and these three players in terms of how they thought they could play, where they thought they could be the most effective, and who they could play with to be most effective. And again, I think that they were really happy they were put back together, and their play from day one, and specifically yesterday in the game with RV getting the two goals, showed us that our first line is back intact, and that's a good start to going putting our club in a really good position to be a hard team to play against and to win some hockey games.
That was David Poile earlier this week on Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McCabe is with me as we get you set again, less than 30 minutes away from pregame, an hour and a half away from puck drop of game number one. Game one of a best of five. Now, we have not seen best of fives in hockey since the Predators entered the league. Everything is a best of seven. You lose game one and it's hey. It's not the end of the world to lose game one, but this is different and unlike anything we have seen before. In fact, I believe the Predators will be the home team today. I doubt they'll be the home team on Tuesday, but I don't actually know if they'll be the home team or not on Tuesday because they're all playing in the Edmonton bubble. So it's a best of five, and you play Tuesday and Wednesday back-to-back for games 2 and 3. Chase McCabe. We've seen best of five series in baseball. We've seen best of five series in basketball, although those went away in the early 2000s. So how critical is game one in a best of five with no home ice advantage on the line? How critical is it in this series against Arizona?
I think it's pretty important, and a lot of that has to do with the bigger conversation that we've had, which you brought up last segment of how this is a referendum of the Predators. We all believe on paper that the Predators are the much better team in this series, and therefore they should win this series. So what better way to prove that right by going out and taking care of business in game one? Now, you can sit there and you can go, well, Chase, Pittsburgh is the better team, and Montreal took game one in overtime. I understand that those things can happen. But you want to shut up the critics for the next couple of days, meaning all of us talking heads that'll be breaking down this game, and be able to come on the air on Monday for our respective shows and saying the Predators look good, they took game one. You stop a lot of that doubt that we have in our minds right now about the inconsistencies with the Predators with a game one win.
Jennifer tweets in and says, how important is game one when there's no home ice advantage? They'll still get the last change, but with no fans, it seems that one is not any more important than the others. I think it's different based upon the goalie situation, which is if you win game one, whatever happens in game two will allow you to do whatever you want with the goalies in game three. Does that make any sense? So if the Predators win game one and they lose game two, then they can make the switch at goalie and say, you know what, back to back and coming off of a loss, go give Pekka-Rinne a shot to go out there and win game three. They can also, if they want to, if they win game one, they can go back to Saros knowing that, hey, if worse comes to worse, they can play the Rinne card in game four.
Sure.
I kind of feel like that's important. I also think that, and this always gets said, in the baseball series, when a team loses game one of the divisional round, they always say, well, now you have to win three out of the next four. That is a lot to ask when you're playing a good team. I don't think Arizona is that good of a team. Like maybe yeah. Maybe I'm crazy because I again think that Arizona is fine. But this is about the Predators. This series is about them. It's not about Arizona. So if the Predators lose today and then get their act together, they could win three in a row against Arizona and be fine. But I would say that I've always felt like in these, and I again, the best of five, you can really only go off of what baseball used to be like. And I always feel like the game one of a best of five is critically important.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't think the Predators have the benefit of the doubt like a team that has played consistently, a team that we go, yeah, you know, I feel good about them. So they drop game one. Like Pittsburgh, for instance, that you can sit there and look, or Edmonton, and go, okay, well, how they've played throughout the season, you feel like, okay, game one, they can bounce back, they can win three in a row, they can take the rest of the series. I can't sit here and definitively say that I feel that way about the Predators based on what we've been discussing in the inconsistencies that they have. I did want to make a point about the back-to-back that Ryan Porth texted me when we were talking about it, that we're kind of in the mindset of when we think of a back-to-back, you think about, okay, they play the game, they leave, they get into the next city at 2 a.m., and that's why you go to the goalie. Well,
right.
This game is over. They walk across the street to the hotel. They're done. That is something to consider. So if UC Saros doesn't get a lot of work in, he plays game two, and they just walk across the street, go to bed, go to the hotel, and it's a game in the middle of the day, then, yeah, it may not be that much of an ask to turn around and have him play the back-to-backs. So that is something to consider. I thought Ryan made a great point.
So that I think the lack of travel is I don't even consider the back-to-back to really be a factor. You know, like David Poyle was talking about how compressed things are going to be in these playoffs, and I just don't think it matters because there's no traveling. I think it's different when you're going to and from Arizona and you've got one day in between and you're flying at 8 in the morning and you're getting home around, you know, 3 in the afternoon. Like, that is where I think that this comes into play. I'm not sure it comes into play when it's play, go back to the hotel, play, go back to the hotel. Now, I'll just be frank. I have lived a life similar to that. You know, when I was in women's basketball, we went to the Final Four my freshman year, and I know that, like, a lot of times people are like, oh, women's basketball. Not, but what you do at the NCAA tournament is you fly in. Say you play on Thursday, you fly in on, like, Tuesday night. You practice Tuesday. You fly in Tuesday night. You've got practice at the arena on Wednesday. You maybe even fly in Monday, honestly. But then you play on Friday, and then you have a day off, and you play, and there's – but you just basically are staying at the hotel. You play, and you go back to the hotel. And you play, and you go back to the hotel. And that is not really – I mean, you almost get used to it. It becomes like a routine. And I think that's going to be a lot different than play, fly home, get back home, practice a little bit, have the day off, play. Like, it's just going to be completely different of how I think the bodies are going to respond in this series. What did you think of the other series and how those played? Montreal wins game one. Chicago wins game one. Would you be hitting the panic button for those teams? Because I think those teams, Pittsburgh and Edmonton, were favored similarly to how the Predators should be favored to win this series.
Yeah, they were pretty heavy favorites. I'm not ready to hit the panic button yet because you did have to factor in one thing that we talked about with those series, the goaltenders, that Corey Crawford could take one, that Carey Price especially could steal a game or potentially a series. I mean, that's one thing that has come up with Montreal, even though they have no business being in the playoffs, but they have a proven goaltender in Carey Price that you would trust to steal a best of five series, and he got game one. It went to overtime, so you had to take that. But Carey Price is somebody I look at that could possibly steal a series. So that's kind of how I feel about them. That I'm not ready to push the panic button yet. I want to see the response from both teams in those two series in game two. You know, does Edmonton come out PO'd for greatness and have a chip on their shoulder? Does Chicago maybe get a little too confident? And the same can be said for Montreal and Pittsburgh. So I think that's really how you have to look at it with those, because you have those goaltenders for those lower seeded teams that could possibly take one for you.
But you still think that Edmonton's going to win that series and that Pittsburgh's still going to win that series?
Well, I think Edmonton's going to come back and win. I did pick an upset special, and the upset special that I picked was Montreal because of Carey Price.
Oh, what a cockroach team.
They won't go away.
They have no business being in these playoffs. Neither of those two teams, Chicago or Montreal, have any business being in anything resembling the playoffs. And yet, I mean, like, Chicago looked really good yesterday. Montreal is a total cockroach team. But if they knock out Pittsburgh, then I'm kind of here for it. Text into the text line says, Pekka has gotten the franchise to this point during all the years. I believe they owe it to Pekka that he gets the start today and on a short leash. Two easy goals, I'd pull him. But I believe Pekka starts today, and Pekka should start today. Let me just say this, Chase. I don't believe in that, and I don't think he believes in that.
No.
I don't think he believes in the, well, I've been the guy for forever, so I deserve to play. And I'll use Edmonton as an example where you heard on the NBC broadcast yesterday the decision to go with Mike Smith, they were very critical of, and immediately Mike Smith came under fire. I just don't think, to me, Pekka had to win the job from Saros in camp plus the exhibition. And while Pekka apparently, according to all reports, and you were there, Pekka was fine in camp and in the game, Saros was outstanding in camp, and Saros was good in the game, and neither of them allowed a goal. And in that case, tie goes to the runner. Saros was the starting goalie at the end of the year. I don't know how you can't give Saros the start today.
Yeah, you can use the same logic of I understand, you know, we've said that. I understand what Pecorino has done for this franchise. I mean, he has been tremendous for this organization and will be recognized for that long after his career is done. But you can use the same argument for this now, that UC Saros earned the job in the regular season. He took the job from Pecorino because he was the better goaltender. He played better, so he deserved the right to defend his starting job once training camp opened. Yes, you can sit there and go, well, you know, that was 4 months ago. Okay. But he still should have been the incumbent coming into training camp because he didn't do anything to lose it. It's like And I know that injured players lose their starting jobs all the time. You see it in the NFL with a quarterback. It happens. But he deserved the right to go into training camp to try and keep the job. And in my opinion, he did enough to keep the job. And that's how you have to look at it. So if you want to say they owe it to Pekka because of what he's done for the organization, well, they owe it to UC Saros too, because he didn't do anything to lose the job. In fact, he did enough to keep the job, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's earned the job. I mean, there's
yes,
he has earned the right to be out there starting today. And then after what you saw against Dallas and what you saw in at the end of the season, is there a fear that Saros is going to let you down? And I don't have a fear that he's going to let me down. I can see him playing well and them losing, but in terms of him letting them down, that I absolutely cannot see. Nate texts into the text line and asks, what's the difference between home and road when considering that they're going to play both goal horns? Now, let me start by saying this. Obviously, the only big difference is the last change. And I don't even know that that's really that big of a difference. People talk about it come playoff time every year. You know, hey, they get the last change so you can set the matchup. But I'm not sure that that's really that big of a deal come playoff time. I cannot handle the away team's goal horn going off. Like, I like how they've done it in the NBA, which is the virtual fans of the quote-unquote home team are the ones who are up there on the virtual board, and they put the logos, even though it's clearly, it's, you know, fake. It's like the yellow line in football. They put right. The logos of the home team on the court. I appreciate that. And I am thankful for the NBA of doing that. I do not like the fact that the NHL has the visiting goal horn go off. It was driving me nuts yesterday, and I don't like it. If we're going to try to make this as real as possible, the home goal horn goes off, the road goal horn doesn't go off, and if the Predators are the road team in Game 2, then their goal horn doesn't go off. Tim McGraw doesn't play in Game 2. That's how it should be, and I know nobody cares, but it just gets up my keister that the NHL is playing goal horns for road teams in these games.
I agree with you, though. If you're going to simulate it, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but they're even using on the dasher boards, like those are, it's going to look like the Bridgestone Arena dasher board.
Although you know why that is, though. I mean, that's a money thing. That's
yeah, sure. But
we owe our corporate sponsors, so we got to do this.
But I applaud them for making that work, because that's a lot of work. I don't know exactly, you know, how they have it set up that they go and they change all the decals and whatnot. But if you're going to do that and you're going to go to those links to make this look like Bridgestone Arena as much as possible, then yeah, if Arizona scores today, I don't want to hear the other Black Keys song, you know, Howlin' for You, that they use as their goal song. So I agree with that. I know that's a silly little thing, but for us that notice that and it bothers us, I don't think we're in the minority. I think there are other people that notice that too. I agree. If you're going to make it try and be home ice for the Predators, then no opposing goal song.
Coming up next here on Preds Extra, one segment left to go. We give you our keys to today's game and our thoughts on and predictions on what happens today. Game number one between the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes is coming up. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. And again, every game, pre-game coverage, post-game coverage, including John Hines and what he has to say as soon as the game is over. All of that is available, not just on ESPN 102.5 The Game, but on our app, the Game Nashville app. So be sure to download that app today, especially for the games on Tuesday and Wednesday. I know some of you will be at work. Hopefully you'll be safe, wearing masks, socially distant, etc. But a lot of you guys will be at work. If you don't have a radio inside there, tap the app, the Game Nashville app, put it on your Alexa speaker. You can listen to the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber and Hal Gill, as they break down games number 2 and 3 while you are at work. That is the Game Nashville app. We'll wrap up Preds Extra, get you set for pregame. Coming up next, it's Game 1, Preds and Coyotes. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Game number 1 is an hour and 10 minutes away, Predators and Arizona Coyotes. And I have to say, the return of sports has made at least me feel, has brought back a sense of normalcy into my life. I don't know what it has done for all of you. A return to playoff hockey has brought back the adrenaline and the juices that I think we all associate with playoff hockey. And last night that was on full display. And today the Predators are back at it for the first time since before the NFL draft was held in Nashville last year. That's how long ago it was that the Predators last took the ice. It was against the Dallas Stars in Game 6. And if you'll remember, P.K. Subban had a huge turnover in that game that led to Dallas's one regulation goal. Obviously, P.K. Subban has not been on the Predators for some time. That is how long ago it was. Chase McCabe, as we get set to hand it off to Darren McFarland at Network Control, as the pregame show is about to get underway. Chase, what are your keys to the game today if the Predators are going to knock off the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, I think the biggest one for me is one that we've been saying all show long, and that is getting off to the fast start. And what I mean by that is take control of this game early on. The Nashville Predators this season, when they score first, 27-6-4. When their opponent scores first, 8-20-4. That is a huge swing, no matter how you look at it. So that is my biggest key, my first key of the game, is get off to a fast start and take control of this game.
It almost feels like Peter Laviolette used to be asked about that before the playoffs, would be asked about before games about getting the first goal and how important it was to get the first goal. And he used to always say, you know, it doesn't really matter because you get the first goal and then somebody else scores. And I think Peter said that because he didn't want his team to pack it in if they gave up the first goal. But it does feel like for this team specifically, they don't seem to have the firepower offensively when they get down to come back in some of these games. And this has been their case for a while, where they get down in playoff games and they usually aren't good at coming back. And they are pretty good about holding a lead whenever they can get into that scenario. For me, I'm going to say my keys to the game are they lie within the specialty teams. Power play, penalty kill. Last year, you lost to the Dallas Stars, and there were a lot of reasons in the playoffs for why you lost to the Dallas Stars. But let's not forget the 0-15 on the power play, specifically in Game 6, when the Predators got power play opportunity after power play opportunity and could not convert. That led to the change in the coaching staff where they brought in Dan Lambert, and ultimately Peter Laviolette got fired. And how much of that was about the power play? Probably a lot. The Predators weren't very good with it. They go to the power play to open the game on Thursday against Dallas. The Joe Faline, Matt Duchene, and Roman Josi out there on that first power play unit, and they score immediately. And they didn't score because of some drawn-up great play. They scored because they got pressure and traffic in front of Ben Bishop. That's the kind of aggressive hockey they're going to have to play. Darcy Kuemper is a great penalty killer. Arizona has one of the best penalty kills in the league during the regular season. So that's going to be a big key for the whole series, but especially today, is to capitalize on the power play. And then obviously they've got to keep themselves out of penalty kill situations simply because the names of Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel and those guys will kill you if they get extra man opportunities. So one, staying out of the box is going to be important, but also I think this game and maybe even this series will be won on specialty teams. And if Arizona is going to win the series, it is going to be because of specialty teams. Chase, give me your prediction. Game number one, who wins today and why?
I believe the Nashville Predators take game one today. I'll give you a score. I'll say it'll be 4-2 because I believe that everything that we have talked about comes to fruition. I think specialty teams are important. I think they score on the power play like we saw against Dallas. I believe the top six forwards that have left a little something to be desired this year, I think they step up. And I believe the defense that has also been a bugaboo helps UC Saros, who I believe will be in goal, and he also has a pretty good game as well.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to go with Preds 4-1. That's it for us. To Network Control we go. Pre-game coverage, game number one next.